little fresh air in the Nebraska football program right now. That's the way it feels anyway to me. Now you get to start telling recruits about it. So that's what Nebraska intends to do this weekend and throughout this time. It's leading up the spring ball anyway. Brian Christofferson of Husker 24/7 joins us now. BC, how we doing?
I'm doing all right. I just stepped out of a little Husker hoops presser, so things are really upbeat over there.
So I was reading some of the quotes. Fred Hoiberg and Kobe Webster clarifying some things over there. Is that what today was about?
There was a little of that, yeah. I honestly didn't hear the whole thing of what Kobe Webster said, so I guess it ruffled some feathers and some talk about leadership and chemistry, those sort of buzzwords. But, they had a get-together, him and Fred Hoiberg, and left okay, and they continue on. I wouldn't say we got into the heart and soul of everything over there, but yes, there was some of that talk.
Well, I mean, they're technically on pause right now. What happens next, I guess, for this team? And one thing that we haven't talked about really at all is because we haven't had to encounter it much this year, is kind of just the protocols for the entire thing. It sounds like maybe what kind of triggered this stoppage is the kids had to get back on campus, and there was testing that had to happen with that. How quickly can we expect Nebraska to be able to get back on the court here?
Yeah, I they're supposed to play Tuesday against Wisconsin at PBA, and that seems very much in the air. They didn't get into that too deep either, but that's what I've gathered, is that, you know, flip a coin on that, and maybe it's not even that. So I don't know if this might cancel out one more game. I would think after that they would be all right. They're not a team with, as Fred Hoiberg said, there's not serious symptoms within the team or anything like that. But you're right in how you framed it, is that students at UNL had to test upon returning for the semester, and that's sort of what triggered the, you know, it showed up Nebraska had a bunch of positives, or too many positives, on their basketball team. It put them too low on the scholarship count of guys available. I think they had 8 guys in the meeting room total the other day. So, about half their team wasn't there. So it's a very difficult time when you're trying to get any sort of traction just as a basketball team to start. And then there's this thrown into it. So it's if you want to be a positive guy about it, you don't have to go to Ohio State, play them, and then we'll see what happens with Wisconsin. He's a top 10 team. Maybe a break could do this team a little good.
Yeah, who knows? who knows how they kind of respond to this type of thing? As far as I know, BC, they're like from the team perspective, from the basketball perspective. This is outside of the university, which just came up because of really timing, but they're not testing unless symptoms pop up, right? And then you go through some more expansive, you know, testing. Is that right at this point?
Yeah, I believe that's the case from the last I heard. That's how they were operating over there. And, for the most part, they had been, they felt like things were going along pretty well. I know they had, back in December, sort of around the Michigan and Auburn debacles, it was a team that sort of was hit by a bug, but I don't know that was COVID related. There was a flu bug that was going through their team. And this has sort of been something with college basketball as a whole, where every night, you'll see her on social media, like, okay, these 2 or 3 games got canceled. And Nebraska had to this point been sort of fortunate in that regard. And they hit the part where they weren't. So hopefully, they play Tuesday. I don't know for sure what's going to happen there, but it does seem like that one still is in question as well now.
Okay, onto the fresh air, as I was describing a little bit.
Oh yeah, I kind of interrupted that with the polluted air, I guess.
No, it's the polluted air. Yeah, it's definitely different air over there. That's for sure. Does it feel that way for you with Nebraska football, and whether or not it works? you know, things can feel good, and that means something for a football program that could really take any, you know, that could use any win it could get right now.
Yeah, they've had a good run. I mean, the QB is such a highlighted position that in it of itself, getting two guys who are sort of from high profile programs, had very highlighted recruiting resumes and stories, like when they were being recruited out of high school. That's a big part of this, I think. I mean, if they hadn't done that, if they hadn't landed at Casey Thompson, you know, would we be talking quite the same way? Probably not, but they did. And that's a big starting point. So you get that going. And so people are like, okay, I can see the vision at QB, the most important position out there. And then I think fans who follow each of the position groups closely have noticed they have stacked some guys up on paper out of the portal that you'd say, okay, that fits that hole. I can see what they're doing here. Now, I've said before, to raise it like one more letter grade and have this be just a certified A type of portal situation, I'd love to see him get that big man on the defensive line. And some would say, you know, maybe one more O-lineman as well as that. Mm-hmm. You know, they have brought in a couple guys who are O-line dudes, but are they guaranteed starters? No, they're going to have to fight for it. So, if they could find a one or two more special guys in the trenches, but I would really point my finger at defensive line, then I would say, yeah, it looks like on paper, for what we can go off of now, they've checked, you know, the boxes you wanted them to. But to kind of what you're saying, I think with Whipple and Mickey Joseph, like, going around in the Omaha high schools today, he's at Burke and Omaha North, and he's got such a sort of air of confidence about him as a recruiter. I think that gives a lift, you know, and that's part of it too.
No, I think that means a lot. And, you know, they're going to have a big junior day this weekend. And I don't know, like, you have to take what you can sell. You know, and Nebraska hasn't had much over the last couple of years. It's I'm sure it's tough to recruit when you have had four straight losing seasons now, but changing up the staff is kind of what they had. And it feels like they're in position to kind of take advantage of it, as well as use those guys and their ideas as well.
Yeah. And you know, the other aspect of this around here, everybody's tired of the word close, you know, like with some people, it's like, oh, don't give me that. You know, they really don't want to hear that. The only thing I'd say, though, is for some of these guys on the outside who aren't around it every day, who haven't been in the state, you know, they don't hear everything that gets said about the program, they could look at it, and actually that could still be a tool you could use with guys, you know, where you're like,
yeah,
you saw our record, it's 3-9, but also look at these games. They're decided by 3 or 4 points. And guys who are being recruited, the type of guys you want, they usually have an ego. That's a good thing. I'm not saying that in a bad way. They have an ego that's like, I could be the guy who fixes that. I could be the guy who fixes that punting problem. I could be the return man who changes everything and is that one extra play. And so I do think, even though you in this area code, you might not want to utter it a lot more. I could see where when you get outside and you're talking to, you know, coaches at different high schools or in other states and some of these prospects, I could see where that would be actually still something that would be advantageous for you.
BC, what's next? I mean, you mentioned getting a big guy in the defensive line would feel like a pretty big deal. Maybe another offensive lineman. Are we at the stage just with the portal that they're kind of in best available mode a little bit, or because it feels like the you know, the options are getting more and more sparse by the day as classes begin to start up for the second semester here?
No, that's a good question, because I do think there's, like, we're trying to figure out now, okay, what's the new time frames that we have to adjust to, like, sort of when a door shuts on one time period and then you got to wait a couple months for another one to open with, you know, guys entering the portal and stuff like that. We're still getting used to it, but I think you're right where you're going with that the options are starting to dwindle from this surge, you know, like, you don't want to force it either. You don't want to just take a guy to take a guy at this point. I do know, you know, your buddy and my colleague, my buddy too, Mike Schaefer, has, you know, been reporting about a DB they still have interest in. But, you know, that's stuff that has to come together, you know, in the next 72 hours, really, for guys to be enrolled this spring and for you to get what you want out of them. So we'll see on that. But I think at this point, don't force it, and also understand that just because you didn't get something solidified now doesn't mean you couldn't come back and nail it, you know, in May or June in the portal or however you want to do it. So that's something to keep in mind for people. I think there's always going to be one or two things you didn't quite get to and it didn't quite work out for you in January. And then you get that sort of second opportunity after the spring when other guys enter the portal to readjust your roster one more time. Obviously, it's better if you can get them here for the spring, though.
Yeah. BC, deservedly so, Eric Schneider gets the pay bump, and they're turning over a bunch on next year's defense. Now, as we've mentioned, they've already added guys to try and plug the holes, and you know that has to come together pretty quick. It's another reason why the spring is, you know, really, really intriguing. But what happens next with the defense? And I was thinking about just kind of the puzzle overall and how that relates to what they do on the offensive side of the ball. I don't think we have any answers to any of those questions yet on kind of what team they want to be. But defensively, how good can they be going into this year?
I mean, I think they laid a good foundation last year, but I do think it's valid to say, okay, it's not like they're free from the conversation about question marks. You know, when you talk about, do you have worries? And they weren't quite the same defense when one guy was gone, when JoJo was gone the last two games. I mean, you could tell how much that took out of them. And I'll be honest, I think Deontay Williams, people saw, okay, he was more valuable than I knew near the end of the season. And that's not to say a guy like Miles Farmer, who's still earlier in his career, who still has a couple years of eligibility, can't get better and be as good as Deontay Williams. Maybe he can, but I did feel like they took half a step back there. And that safety spot, you know, I think needs to be open. I mean, I think it needs to be a dogfight for guys to win those starting jobs. So, the secondary, to me, everybody will, of course, hover around the QBs, and that'll be 1A of conversation in the spring. But what Travis Fisher's defensive backs look like and sort of who emerges, especially with all these new guys on campus right now, is probably 1B to me. And you're talking about like a Tommy Hill from Arizona State. He's going to be right in the mix. Yep. And Deshaun Singleton's a guy, you know, from JUCO. They got their highlight recruit in the class was 4-star Jaden Gold, and he's here.
That's right.
And so it's pretty interesting in the secondary. And that I think Quentin Newsom's the one guy I'd say, you know, he's probably got a job. But after that, it's elbows out. We'll see what happens.
Yep. Brian Christopherson of Husker 24/7. BC, always appreciate the time, man. We'll let you go. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Cotter.
Brian Christopherson, Husker 24/7. Good stuff from him on all things. A little bit of Nebraska football, a little bit of Nebraska basketball. To get some more on them. That was a weird deal, man. And, you know, just in talking to, we can get back to the basketball thing here real quick. We won't talk about it much today because they're not going to play this weekend, and they probably won't play on Tuesday at this point either. But, you know, talking to coaches, oh, this is probably still a month, maybe a few weeks ago at this point. But the COVID kind of guidelines for them weren't exactly, you know, specified, laid out. So they were going on, you know, if somebody has symptoms, then, you know, we start with the more invasive testing. If you're vaccinated, you don't have to. But what happened was the semester restarted, so everybody who had anything to do with being on campus had to get tested again. And naturally, here comes a few positive tests on the team. From what I've seen and heard, it seems like most of those are asymptomatic at this point. So you ask the question, would this have even popped up had those tests not taken place? My answer would be no. I don't think it would have. But now they are dealing with the after effects of that and a pause in their season. Like BC said, though, maybe it's good to, you know, step away and just take a day or two off, be separate from each other, come back a little refreshed, regenerated, re-energized. Maybe it's not the worst thing in the world, but definitely a, you know, mostly just a unlucky or unfortunate situation with Nebraska basketball and them now missing a couple games, and now they're going to have to load up their schedule on the back end. Won't look as full as last year's did, but it's getting to be that time. There's only a few gaps in between games now where, you know, you're getting close to back-to-back or an every-other-day situation. Nebraska might have one or two of those down the stretch here. We'll take a quick timeout. It is time for Odd News with Josh next on 1620 The Zone.